Peace be with all of you. Today, we want to talk about praying to the Lord. Now, the ordinary people will bring our needs to pray to God. And the greater our needs are, the more earnestly we will pray. And so in the church, we do not lack people who pray earnestly. Because people always bring a lot of prayer topics to ask this and that from God. Now, Lord, please help me be healed. Oh, Lord, please change my children. And these are what we humans usually pray for. Of course, God is willing to hear our earnest prayer. But we must know that our earnestness many a times is because of our needs. But we have to understand that to be able to reach the throne of God and for the prayers to live on for generations and be fulfilled beyond what we can imagine, that prayer is a prayer that understood God's heart. So you have to ask yourself this question. How many people who pray today, which is fitting to God's heart, and which is prayers made out of the care for God's glory, and prayers made out of the knowledge of God's will, if that's the case, then your prayers will be fulfilled so that your joy will be complete. Although we know this, we who are in the flesh, our prayers are very often very carnal and very earthly. And we pray at a very temporal level and we keep asking from the Lord. And even those of us who already believe the truth of God, we are always occupied by temporal things and we cannot see the glory in heaven. And we cannot understand God's will above. Actually, God's will is definitely good for me and for all His people and for His will. A lot of people pray that, may your will be done. But how about my situation, my marriage, my children, my career? Then you are mistaken. Because in God's glorious kingdom and salvation, there are things concerning you, there are benefits for you. Not just for this present life, but also for the afterlife, for eternity. And so we who are already fallen, we cannot really see this. So the moment we pray, we just pray for things that we want to ask. But the Lord really wants to teach those whom He loves how to pray. And so God will bring the person's life into some trials on earth. And so a lot of sorrows that comes from trials. And on earth, there's a lot of struggles, gains and losses. And in all this, the person can see his own inability and ignorance. But God Himself fulfills beyond what He asked or imagined. And God brings us out of our misery and our helplessness. And one day, when you look back, you realize that, Lord, glory be to you. And then you will not just give God the glory, but your heart also understand how you can pray towards God, to God. And you know that in this brief life, what is the most important? And then your heart will be closer to His heart. And then you will be able to enjoy the promise of answered prayers. So no matter what you ask in the name of the Lord, He will do it for you so that your joy will be complete. So what is the theme for today? That is prayers that are born through trials. A lot of people, they only want to ask, but they didn't remember the trials. So every time when I stand on stage, I'm full of trembling. I see you and I see the works of the Lord. So I've been leading the church for 17 years. Many a times I'm weak and helpless. And I ask, Lord, why is your church so weak? You know, brothers and sisters, they leave the church easily or they compromise God's things easily and they only focus on the things of the world. Lord, please do your own work. So in our helplessness, it's not what we humans can do with our eloquence or intelligence. So in our sorrows and helplessness, God led me through my 17 years of being a pastor. And in these 17 years, God has sifted out people in this way and brought new people into our midst. And then we realize that in all these things, God brought us through ups and downs. And in the process of sorrows and griefs, what is the one thing that God wanted to teach us? That in fact, this church is not mine, but God's. The Lord said, I will build my church. The church is not built by the preacher. And so I understood the idea concerning church. Because church is not about increase in number. In a 1,000 church, 1,000 member church, that can glorify God. But in the church with only 10 people, there's also ways where this small little church can manifest God's glory. So church, is the body of Christ, and we manifest the glory of the head, who is Christ. So when you understand it this way, then you can pray well for the church. Otherwise, you just come to church with all your own motives, and you think you're very noble. But the more you pray, the more you do not understand God's heart. But after year and year after year, after we've gone through trials, then we will understand. So as a parent, you know, I'm also a parent for about 17 years. So my eldest is 17 years old. So parents, the moment we gave birth to our children, we will be worried about their health, their studies, their friendships, their peers. But throughout the whole process of raising your children, you slowly understand that it is not about how you can shape your children, but God gave birth to this child through you, and God Himself shaped the child, and God wants to use this child. God loves the child more than you. You only know one thing, and that is enough, that this child can fear the Lord. Don't waver in your prayer, but build your prayers on the promises of God, and over time you realize wonderful things, that a person's life, how he's being shaped and used by the Lord, that's not what we humans can determine. God wants to be glorified through a person's life. So eventually when you stood amazed at God's grace and you look back the years of raising up your children, you know that one day you will be separated from your children. That is only human nature. But you left behind the grace for him, and through your child, you can see the will of God, such that eventually you start to discover, such that eventually, like Abraham, he passed on God's promises to Isaac, so that Isaac can, and so that Abraham finished his work on earth and he went back to see the Lord. That's the most glorious way of raising children. It's not, you know, toward the end of life and you worry still for your child whether he has sufficient money on earth. It's not just those things, because those are carnal. Because that's how human's fallen culture taught us. But it has nothing to do with what Jesus wants to accomplish through the cross. For a while, you just want to satisfy your heart, but eventually what you receive, if it's not remembered forever, then why do we need to ask for them? So without going through trials, You will know what is a prayer that fits the will of God. Even though we will age and get sick gradually, do not be troubled over your sickness. Before you fall ill, you realize, you know, whatever you pray is all about earthly things. You know, Lord, give me peace and prosperity, and do not let me have any troubles. But the moment you are sick, you realize you are running out of time. Then you realize that in my brief and fleeting moments, I need to pray to God. Although sickness seems to be bad, because we all think that sickness comes from the devil, but now God tells us that in a short life, for the ordinary people, is 70 to 80 years. But in that 70 to 80 years, what do you want to do? In the 70 to 80 years, you have to know this God and know how this dignified life of yours should be connected to Him. And then you fulfill your mission to go and see the Lord, then the Lord will wait for you. Just now we prayed that our brother Dek Ming had gone home to the Lord. And those of us who have attended the funeral, we will see the glory of God. A person who only get to know the Lord only at the last one third of his life, and then he left, and then he entered into eternal life, and that is a celebration. Although there is this grief and sorrow over the temporal separation, but the moment you think about the eternal glory, and then he rests from all his labor, and the deeds of his life followed him, then you realize this is very glorious. So then you ponder upon yourself, when I myself leave this world, will my deeds and my fruits follow me? So from your prayers toward God, how you pray is how you will pursue. If it's fitting to God's heart, then it's not just about this present life, but it will be remembered forever. Your prayers for the next generations and so on. So today we can be blessed. Of course, it is due to the greatness of our Lord, but it is also because the apostles prayed in the name of Christ. Apostles prayed according to the heart of the Lord. And so for 2,000 years across history, God's servants kept rising up to preach this gospel. So do not look down on your prayers. So how great you pray and how close you pray to do it God's heart, God will fulfill for you. Then you ask, how can we pray? We are all carnal and we are all weak. And so the Lord allow you to go through trials. And that is the purpose of trials. Trials will turn you from carnal into spiritual, from being concerned about temporal into being focused on eternity. And so the Lord said you will be sorrowful very soon, but you must know that your sorrow is purposeful, because that sorrow is like a woman in labor and going to bring out a life. So although it's very painful, in her heart she knows that this pain will end and it will bring about a greater thing. So today, let's think about God's word for us. And so from today's message onward, let us know how to pray to God. And that prayer will be fulfilled so that our joy can be complete. Let's take a look at John chapter 16. And this is Jesus' farewell discourse. And last week we mentioned that the Holy Spirit will come and bring us into all truth. And then now, verse 16, Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a while you will see me. So what does this mean? So at this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And because I am going to the Father. And so this is very important. because I'm going to the Father. What does this mean? So they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. So here we see the perplexity of the disciples. Of course, when they are perplexed, that's because they couldn't understand in their logic. They couldn't understand the mystery within this. What does it mean by a little while, and after a little while, I cannot see, and then I can see? So where is he going? Why is he like disappearing, and after a while, he will appear again? So that is about our rationality. But what perplexed the disciples even more is not just in their logic, but in their heart. Because this Lord, he said, in a little while, you will not see me. Because when the Lord told them that in a little while you'll not see me, this will affect them emotionally. Because when this Lord lives on earth, who has this blessing to see this completely righteous and sinless Lord? God has brought God's glory, which cannot be seen on earth, but Jesus brought this glory to earth. And he lived with his 12 disciples. And so although this is a sinful world, but they are completely protected by the Lord when they are with the Lord. They are protected by God's, by Jesus' love, righteousness, and all his virtues and holiness. And so, Lord, you have never left us. And because of your presence, we can live on. But you said, you are departing. So they are very perplexed. So for example, on earth, sometimes our loved ones, our beloved spouse, our father or mother, when they left the world, and they are so nice and so loving, so when they left this world, we all felt depressed. But our Lord, when he's going to leave, it's as if the glory is going to leave. So there's a huge difference. So now the disciples, they were perplexed. So where is this God full of grace and truth? Where is he going? So the Lord said, in a little while, you will not see me. That is because he is going to the cross and he will get into the grave, and so people cannot see him anymore. But after a little while later, you can see the Lord again. So usually people think that this refers to his resurrection, but I think that it's not just referring to the resurrection, because indeed, when our Lord got resurrected and they could see him, and some of them rejoiced, some of them were shocked. Like Thomas, he was still doubting. But here the Lord said that after a little while you will see me. And I think that what the Lord is referring to is the day of Pentecost. Because he said, I'm going to the Father's. So in the earlier part of this farewell discourse, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, and when I went to go to the Father, I will send the Holy Counselor to be with you. So now in this third dimension, you can see that I'm talking to you in 2 seconds in human words. And you can understand me in that way. But I'm still with you, only outside of you. But when the Holy Spirit Counselor comes, you can completely experience the union between you and the Lord. So God himself is with you. His power comes to you. So when you are united with the Lord lives and you will live also. The Lord speaks and you will also speak. The Lord does and you will also do. And you completely understand that the Lord has never left you. But it's just that right now you cannot see the Lord with your naked eyes. So this is the most important emphasis in his farewell discourse. He kept saying that I'm going to leave, but it is beneficial to you. When I leave, the Holy Spirit Counselor will come to you. And then you will experience how the Lord co-works with you. So how much of this have we experienced? Now, these are God's important words. Of course, we know that at this moment, before the Lord went to the cross, the disciples couldn't understand. And so, before the Lord died and resurrected and fulfilled the salvation for human race, the disciples can only see and search for God's presence in the third dimension. But when the Lord left, the Holy Spirit will come. So you say, now today, the Lord has already been crucified, died and resurrected. And indeed so, but why is it that we still do not understand? Why was it that sometimes we were still perplexed when troubles come to us and God hasn't resolved it yet? And that is because we still do not really understand God's death and resurrection. Or we do not really understand the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit that we are searching for is a kind of good feeling and experience. But the Holy Spirit is with you in everything, in all things. And the Holy Spirit convicts you in everything. And when He comes, He will remind you of every word of Jesus. And He will instruct you in all things. And that's what Jesus said. Are all these words in vain? Of course not. But we still cannot see Him. Because you say, Pastor, I can only see temporary things. Like, I can only see my tomorrow. I cannot see eternity, not even 10 years later. Because our hearts are so, our vessels are so small, but your vessel is so precious because it's a gold vessel. But how can you expand your vessel? The fire needs to come. Because the fire refers to trials. So now you understand why we humans, when we are born to earth, why must we go through trials? Because no one trials will harm us. Paul had this thorn in his flesh and he asked 3 times and God didn't remove it. But God told Paul that my grace is sufficient for you. And so in the midst of this thorn, you will experience my complete strength and power. So indeed, we are all small and narrow and temporal in our perspective. That's how we are. But after going through trials, after going through losses and maybe the passing of loved ones, and after going through illnesses, we go through the process, whether it's 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, then amazingly, although there are trials, we get lighter and lighter. In the beginning, the cross feels very heavy, but it gets lighter and lighter. And more importantly, the capacity of your vessel got expanded. And you start to be able to see what the Lord could see. And so this is our Christian faith, because the Holy Spirit is in our lives and He fills our life. It's not the same as now we hear people say, go to church to seek blessings here and there. For this kind of theories, you don't have to come to church to hear, because you go to any temples or positive thinking courses like Anthony Robbins, you go to that those places, you can also get the same message after crying and laughing together. Because all those things cannot provoke your soul, but only can provoke your emotions. So nowadays, a lot of teachings, they only provoke the emotions, such that people will think that they are filled by the Holy Spirit, but they are actually being emotional. So that's just a form of emotionalism. Now, we have emotions, but we must not center on emotions and get into emotionalism and think that that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Your perspective need to fix on eternity and live your everyday by the will of God. And before that, you still do not understand God's plan and God's will. So now, Jesus said something very important. He's going to leave soon and the disciples were sorrowful. But the Lord said, I'm the Lord. Even if you cannot understand, I'm still the Lord. So now when you hear the sermon, you may not really understand. But when trials come and after the trials left, you will start to understand. Of course, the Lord will not give us trials beyond what we can bear. But certain trials come, you have to ask. When those trials come, although you could be painful for a while, then but after that you realize that the word of God that pastor has been preaching, that is, those are right. This world is just temporal. If we pin all our hopes on that, we'll be disappointed. So only when trials comes, then you'll be able to understand. But before trials come, you will only be thinking as if you'll be living forever on this earth. So now verse 19, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." Now, why will the world rejoice? Because the people of the world, they want to be the master of their own life. And so because they want to be their own masters, now the master can only be one. And so because of this, they must reject the creator of the universe and of human life. They have to reject this creator. Because what people of the world want is they want to live as they please, according to their preferences. So you tell me about God and the Lord. Okay, I want this God to fulfill my wishes for me. I want this God to meet my needs. And then if that's the case, that God is good. We know that that is not the Lord. That is the idol. Whatever you address that God, you are just using the name of Jesus, but that is actually an idol that you created for yourself. But the real Lord and Master, He has absolute sovereignty in your life. And when you surrender to Him, then you can be like a human. But when you don't surrender to this God, then your appearance is just like the beast. Now, because the people of the world, they do not want this Lord, and they crucified this Lord, but you already knew Him, and He is indeed your Lord. And so you will grieve and you will be sorrowful while the world rejoices. Because your Lord and the Lord that the world wants is a different Lord. So from here, what is it that we have to confirm? Have you ever encountered the difference between you and the world? If you rejoice and you are grieved by the same things that the world rejoices and grieves over, then something is wrong with you. But you will know the true faith. When the people of the world, they reject God, and they just hold on to what they believe, and they exalt their ideologies, they exalt human factors. We want to have abortion. We want to approve of homosexuality and feminist movement. We believe in democracy or communism. And when they raise up all these things, then our heart felt saddened. We mourn in our heart. Or do you not care about things of the society? I'm saddened. Because human beliefs is the most precious. Because what you believe will determine the state of your soul. If you believe in money, then your soul will be full of money. And money become your God. So we know that people of the world, what they want is different from us. So we come from the Lord. So now we know that Lord is about to go to the cross. And then verse 20, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. And so you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." So this is very important. Your grief will turn to joy. Here it didn't say the joy will replace your grief. Not because you are very sorrowful, God give you something joyful. Because I don't have A, God give me B to comfort me. I don't have a spouse, so God gave me a good career to comfort me. So this is called the joy will replace your grief. But here it's mentioned your grief will turn to joy. So in your area, in your greatest sorrow, in the matter which you are most shameful, God will turn that matter into joy. So the disciples is now most sorrowful about the fact that their Lord is dead on the cross. But very soon, they will see Jesus resurrected, fulfilling the great salvation, and the Holy Spirit will fill the disciples to preach the gospel. So now you ask yourself, what is the thing you are most sorrowful about today? What is the thing we are most shameful about? Some people, it's because of their marriage, or because their children became delinquent, or some people because of their health. For various reasons, we all have areas in which we feel sorrowful or shameful. You thought that if you resolve that problem, things will be better. But one problem is solved, a new problem will arise. That's human life. But after Jesus died and resurrected, He brought the Holy Spirit, and when Holy Spirit fills you, that becomes the avenue by which you can see God's blessings in the area in which you are most sorrowful, and that becomes your testimony for the gospel. So, in terms of, in the course of shepherding and raising children, many things happen. I always share with you, sometimes my health, my leg problem. 2 weeks ago, my knees got locked again for 3 hours. I couldn't walk. But every time when I share this, you can feel that I understood God's will in this matter, and I can also use this matter to give thanks and comfort you and testify to you. So you say, Pastor, you know, you always say that whatever we encounter will advance the gospel. Whatever we encounter, whether it's in health or marriage, is all to testify for the Lord. But listen carefully to Pastor's word. But the Holy Spirit will have to fill you. Holy Spirit has to fill you, then you can do great, then you can have great testimony. Otherwise, after giving your testimony, you will fall. So some people say, Pastor, you're always right. You always use your suffering to share. I also want to do that. You know, my marriage is as such and such, and I've already overcome, and now I want to comfort many people in marital problems. But after sharing, you go back home and you are very sorrowful, miserable, and lonely. And then, you know, sometimes you testify during your cancer, but after giving the testimony, you go back home and full of fear. After sharing your testimony, you fell again. That's because you do not understand the mystery of being filled by the Holy Spirit. You are not speaking after being filled with the Holy Spirit. So all these are fabricated testimonies. Now, this devil also knows. You know, devil also said, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who are you? So at this moment when you listen to this message, you have to understand. Some people, they've gone through some very long-term struggles and misery, but up to a point, they not only can give testimony over their sufferings, but even they can even give thanks for people who have hurt them before, whether it's their ex-wife or ex-husband. They really look to eternity and they can understand things which are temporal, and that there's a meaning and purpose to what they have encountered. And so from then on, they rise up to testify for the Lord. And we know that that doesn't come from them themselves, but from the Holy Spirit in them. Whether it's marriage or health issues, it's all the same. Because humans, we just have struggles in a few areas of life. And so after going through trials, what is important is we must have the work of the Holy Spirit to help us overcome all these things. So if you do not understand the death and resurrection of Christ, if you do not know how to confirm the presence of the Lord, and if you know the Holy Spirit in a very funny area, and then when you try to give testimony, you stumble others, you also stumble yourselves. So I say this so that you know that we Christians, we truly have the presence of the Lord, but the Lord have also given us His word and promises, and we need to know how to confirm God's word. And then verse 21. Now, there's this analogy of giving birth. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So those sisters who have given birth, of course, you will experience this. Of course, now medical science is very advanced. Sometimes sisters need not be so in so much pain. You take an injection or you went for go for cesarean, and it's not so painful. Back then, in my mother's generation, she gave birth in tremendous pain. After you go through that kind of huge pain, and then you gave birth, after that, the joy of birth is not, it is really different. It's so much happier. You know, if you go for cesarean, you just sleep for a while, and then very soon you just realize, oh, the baby is out so fast. But here, from ancient time, there's labor pains and contraction. But this pain is amazing. When you're about to give birth to the child, you know. This pain is very important, because without this pain, the new life cannot be born. So you want to choose without pain, or you want to choose the new life? Of course, you want the new life to be born. So because you want the new life, so you endure the pain. And you do not just merely endure it, but you look to the hope of the new life. And after giving birth, sisters, after going through the pain, which of you look at the baby and you say, I hate you, you give me so much pain. No sister will be like that. You'll be so overjoyed by your newborn. So a godly person, you know, if you go through trials and sufferings, of course, in the midst of it, it's miserable, but in your heart, you have the promise of God. In your heart, you know that God has already fulfilled everything for you on the cross. So all these sufferings are temporary, but it's to fulfill eternal glory. So after going through 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, after that, when you look back, you will not regret because of any of the sufferings you have been through. Instead, you will give thanks for all those things, because those sufferings and trials becomes your glorious testimony. So, the Lord is trying to explain the most important thing. Now, verse 22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. And why no one can take away? Because this joy is built upon the eternally unchanging truth, and that is the truth of Christ being resurrected, and Christ is with those who believe in Him forever. So on earth, all the joys on earth are built on temporary things which make you happy, but those things will also change. Humans will change. You go traveling, you're very happy, but after you come back, you'll be stressed by work. So things like this will change. So only the resurrection of Christ and only the truth of Christ's presence with you, only this will not change. So Christ has resurrected and He's with you. The foundation of this truth, you need to use this foundation of this truth to look at everything. So if you're very happy right now, you're very prosperous and smooth sailing in everything, but you still have the base on the foundation of Christ resurrection, you know that all these things are also temporary. So do not be joyful till you fall. So now you have slightly better conditions, you testify for the Lord and let God use it. And when you do that, you have another kind of joy in your heart. Otherwise, earthly things are just like this. Material things are just like this. So on earth, if you have a lot of sufferings and trials, you build your foundation on Christ's resurrection and Christ's presence, and you know that this suffering first, it will end, because in future, the eternal glory awaits you. Second, this suffering surely has its reason. So Christians, true Christians on earth, Every trial that the true Christians encounter on earth is not random, it's not coincidental. So from the day my eyes are open, I see that the resurrection of Christ concerns the whole human race. Then I know that every moment on this earth and what everyone encounters is for the sake, for the purpose that one more person can hear the gospel and be saved. Like at the funeral and the wake at our Eugene's father, first day, Eugene told me that, you know, although my father is in another church, so last minute he also told me, you know, that maybe your church can also conduct service, because the reason we want to conduct all the two separate wake services is so that we can evangelize to the family and relatives of to the relatives and friends of our family. So in funeral and weddings, a lot of times we put our emphasis on the person. Funeral, we place the focus on the deceased. Now, sometimes in my memorial service, people keep talking about how good the deceased is. But no matter how good the dead is, the God who saved the dead, that God is better. And at the wedding, people keep talking about how handsome the groom is, how pretty the bride is. No matter how pretty they are, Christ is prettier. And the union of Christ with the church is more beautiful. So on earth, whether it's the happiest things or the saddest things, those things are meant to use to evangelize. And that is the core value of a Christian. So how firm is your core value? Then we know that on earth, how gloriously have you spent your earthly life in God's eyes? If your core values have a little bit of heaven and a little bit of earth, very soon you'll be found out. Because what makes you happy or sorrowful is a bit confusing. Although there are tears in the morning, although there are tears at night, but in the morning there will be rejoicing. So the morning is just a little while, but the joy is eternal. So in the most sorrowful matter, if you are filled by the Holy Spirit, through the most sorrowful thing, you can bring forth the most beautiful testimony of how the Lord, the resurrected Lord, is with you. Now, who can say such a beautiful message? Only those who truly believe. If you do not believe, you couldn't say this. If you cannot believe, temporal things will seize you. So being a pastor for 17 years, every time when I stand on stage, that kind of trembling. What is the trembling? Since I have the script, I don't have to tremble. So I need to depend on the Lord to preach the Holy Word and to bring people from earth to the spiritual realm, to help believers make prayers that can reach the heavenly throne. And for a preacher to do this, the devil will surely attack. But God, through the angels, bring answers of prayers to people of the world, and through the prayer of Christians, nations and societies will change. So believers' prayer need to reach heaven. So some believers, before their prayers reach heaven, they just disappear like smoke. They just ask for some material things and food and eat things to eat and drink. And the more you pray, the more confused you are, and you will surely stumble. So churches should pray. No, a lot of churches are teaching the believers to pray that kind of material prayers. No, move the hands of God. But if you don't understand God's will, how are you going to move God's hand? God will find you very irritating. Now, some people, they only go to God when they have troubles, but they didn't find God when there's no trouble. So they only do emergency prayers. So the hardest things to learn among Christians is how to pray. Now, I see a lot of Christians, they always share, you know, I struggle most not in reading the Bible. I can read the Bible well, but if you ask me to pray, I sit there, I don't know what to pray. That's because your prayer contents just revolve around earthly matters. So you cannot reach spirituality, and your heart cannot be connected to God. Now, God's word already said very clearly, I don't know why there's alternative forms of teaching. And now, verse 23, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So you don't have to ask me. Last time they were observing how the Lord Jesus communicated with Father God. But in fact, the darkest moment of the human history, the most evil thing of the whole human history is humans crucified this totally sinless Son of God and killed Him on the cross. But through this, God fulfilled the most the greatest salvation. So once you understood this salvation, then you realize that what sorrow is greater than the cross? In other words, what sorrow has no answer before the cross? So on the day of resurrection and on the day of Pentecost, when Holy Spirit comes to fill you, you will understand that all your sufferings will become the driving force for which you can evangelize and preach the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. And that's what's meant by your grief will turn into joy. And here, so whatever you ask, Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So in last time when they see how Jesus prayed, Jesus got answers from the Lord, from Father God all the time. But now, the more we understand God's will and we ask in that way, God will also give us whatever we ask in Jesus' name. So the Lord asked the storms to stop. So I can also stop the storms. Now you go to the sea side and you command the storms to stop. Now these are pointless things. No one will do that. So finally, I want to share. You need to understand what is meant by praying in the name of the Lord. Verse 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So we need to understand how to ask in the name of the Lord. So up to now, if we only know how to pray according to our needs, it is time we understand what is meant by asking in the name of the Lord. So if you ask in Jesus' name, whatever you ask, you'll be given. I've memorized this verse within 1 year of becoming a Christian. So ask in the name of Jesus. I pray for half an hour. And after that, I forget to pray. You know, I forget to mention in Jesus' name. So I go back and say, in Jesus' name I pray. It's as if I mention this line, then it's effective. Now, this is superstition. In the past, that's what I think. It's not just this meaning. What is meant by asking in the name of the Lord? Now, the servant of the emperor come to pronounce a decree. In the name of the emperor, let me tell you this. So he says, so when he come in the name of the emperor and he opened the scroll, within that scroll, that is the will of the scroll. He cannot come in the name of the emperor and say what he wants to say. So first, you need to understand what is meant by in the name of Christ. It must surely be based on his will, not your will. That's the first. Second, what is meant by in his name? Second meaning is a servant, a faithful servant, come before the people and to pronounce the decree of the king. What the king wills must also be in line with what the servant wills. So a servant who truly knows God's people and comes in the name of the king, then what the king wills is also what this servant wills. So first, you need to pray according to the will of God. Second, what God is willing is also what you also desire. So the Lord Jesus is willing for God to be glorified. So I also want God to be glorified. So when you ask, you will receive and your joy will be complete. And why your joy will be complete? Because what you wish for is done for you. But if what the Lord, if what Father God wishes is not what you wishes, then you will not be happy. Even if you see the fulfillment, you will not be happy. Also, what if one more person becomes a believer? No, my life is so sorrowful. Then you will not be so joyful. You see people praise God, you yourself is not so happy. So that is not in the name of the Lord. So we need to come to such agreement with God that in all things, then in all things, whatever we ask, we will receive. This is not what we humans can do. This is God's supernatural work. And how did God work supernaturally? Of course, through His Word, He will first teach us. But secondly, God knows that in our life, there's a lot of impurities, and that will obstruct our joy. So God has to use trials. So our prayers have to go through grief. What kind of grief? Because of the grief that comes from trials. Without the grief that comes from trials, then your prayers are just based on your natural temperament. And you cannot reach the throne of God. And you only pray based on your temporary and carnal desires and needs. And such prayers, the more you pray, the more you drift from God's heart. Because it's based on your greed and discontentment. So, Zacharias mentioned that God will use fire to refine us like refining gold, so that you will call upon me and I will answer you. So when a person calls out to God, before that, fiery trials will come. Because without trials, we will not experience prayer answers. So our prayers are different from pagans. The Lord instructed us, you know, your prayers shouldn't be the same as pagans. Sometimes pagans pray very loudly, but God is not deaf. And pagans, they like to use repeated words. You know, give me, give me, give me. God, this is what I want. Please give it to me. And they repeatedly pray the same thing. And this is not pleasing to God. So you say, how can God not be pleased? I prayed for many years and God indeed gave it to me. But after you receive it, you look at it. Maybe it doesn't come from God. God, if God loves you, then everything that He gives you will benefit you now and forever. What God gives you will be good for your whole life. Then you say, Pastor, what if I ask by the will of God, I pray for the salvation of my family members, and that is surely in line with God's will? So when we pray for the salvation of people whom we love, then first, the more you pray, the more you should be joyful. Why? Because God is pleased with your prayer. Your prayer is already made in the name of the Lord. Second, the more you pray about the family salvation, you must not just remain in, Lord, quickly save them, quickly save them. So you need to, as you pray, you need to understand what God wants you to do. How to use your patience, your love, your forbearance to love and show concern to your family members to touch them. George Mueller, I've ever shared with you, in his whole life, he prayed for 5 friends. When he passed away, 3 friends already received the salvation. one received the Lord at his funeral, and the last one, after George Mueller departed from the world for 1 year, that final friend became Christian. So sometimes our naked eyes may not see tangibly that the outcome that we want is fulfilled. But the Lord fulfills beyond what we imagine. But it is your responsibility and duty to pray in the name of Jesus. Now you say, Pastor, whatever you preach is very spiritual, but now I have sickness. Can I ask God to heal me? Or I have some needs of the flesh. Can I ask from God to satisfy me? Can or not? Now, some people, they are confused and some are shy to nod the head. Yes, of course you can. God is merciful to us and He provides for us. He provides for our needs. But after going through the death and resurrection of the cross, when you have some needs and weaknesses of the flesh and you pray for these things, you need to learn from Paul. How did Paul pray? Paul had this thorn in his flesh, and he prayed for how many times? He prayed 3 times. And 3 times seriously he prayed to God. God, I pray to you. And after that, he fully entrust to the Lord. So you need not worry anymore. Now, Lord, have you ever heard, I really need a spouse, I really want a child? God is not deaf. No, you can pray 3 times. Lord, you created me with a flesh. 3 times I asked from you about my needs. Then after that, you commit to the Lord. After that, what happened? After that, what you need to pay attention to is it, did God give me? Is my body healed? No. What you need to focus on is, what did God tell Paul? First, he said, after Paul prayed 3 times, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. In other words, after praying 3 times, what you need to pay attention to is God's grace. When you pray for something, after you pray, you confirm how God answers you in all things. It may not be your desired outcome, because my desired outcome may not be what God sees as the good outcome, because the Lord may feel now is not the time. So for example, if you have sickness in your body, you ask God for healing. After that, you pay attention to, you know, sometimes when you pray, God, you have mercy on your servant. After that, you meet certain people, maybe they are also sick. Or you meet certain brethren who loves you a lot. Brother, you take this TCM. Or such, there's a lot of such example. When you entrust this to the Lord, then what you encounter, within that comes God's love and maybe God's guidance. And so God's grace is in the midst. Because the Lord wants to tell you and make you see that He's a God who gives answers and grace. And He sustains you sometimes in your misery. And sometimes when you ask for this thing, God gives you another thing to sustain you first, so that eventually you can receive a more beautiful thing. I use a testimony to end. Last time, preacher Hui Jin, before she encountered or met Chen Ji, and she said, I need a man to lead me. And so pastor also know. So once I called her to tell her one very important thing. Then she thought maybe pastor want to introduce men to her. So I say, preacher Hui Jin, I tell you very serious news. You are very faithful. You have been leading your cell group. Today, I want to tell you to lead another cell group. So she's asking for a man, and then the pastor gave her another responsibility to lead another cell group. So she has to lead 2 cell groups for 2 or 3 years. And in the process of this, refine her So, as women, we have a lot of typicality, a lot of selfish desire. One by one, in the course of refinement, we will let go. So one day she received the man of her life, and she also become a preacher, greatly used by God. So God fulfills beyond her imagination. So I told her, you think that I let you lead another cell group is to play a joke on you? No, I want to show you God's will. So in my heart, I think without this process, if you have no more and you find another man, what's the point? What is God doing? How is God trying to tell you to single-heartedly love Him and serve Him? So the servant of God, when we pray over one thing, that's what we see. But what we pay attention is our need. How is it going to be satisfied? You must see God's grace. From 3 times when you pray to God seriously, from then on, how did God answer you? You need to pay attention to the process. So do you have answer? It's all the answers in the cross. May the Lord be the ruler of your heart completely. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you for teaching us how to pray in your name. This is such a direct theory and word. You just use your word to reveal to us so that we have no excuse. We have no excuse or reason to distort your word. Lord, please help us completely understand so that we know the Lord, you love us such that you give us your only Son on earth. What other thing will you not give us together with your Son? But help us understand and understand correctly. Lord, help us not miss the eternity over some temporal things. Lord, you promise us that when we pray in your name, it will all be fulfilled. Those of us who believe in your word, when we walk to the end of our life and when we look back, we have no regrets. We will see the Lord fulfilling beyond what we asked or imagined. Today, please use your word to teach us, to encourage us, and to open us up. And within us, if there are still struggles and miseries because of some needs, Lord, when we are for things that we are still praying over, may today's sermon and message win over our heart and give us faith to pray to you so that we know how to pray to you and how to confirm and test and approve your grace. And so in this process, please help us receive more than what we ask for or imagine. Lord, may you receive all glory, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.